In our study of the book of Joshua, we have come to the command which Joshua gave to the people to enter into the land of Canaan relative to occupying it. We said one of the interesting phrases in the command was related to the phrase, or one of the interesting phrases actually was the phrase, 3 days. We looked at the numerical significance of that phrase, and we've been looking at the practical significance, trying to answer the question, why? Why were they commanded to wait 3 days? One reason we gave you already, they were commanded to wait 3 days to avoid presumption. And then we said they were commanded to wait 3 days in order that some of the tribes of Israel might have the opportunity of reconsideration, for they had had the decision made to stay on this side of Jordan. God told them that was not his original plan. He never rides roughshod over human will. So he told them they might stay on this side of Jordan, but they had to go on the other side of Jordan and make sure that the land was conquered so that their brethren might possess their possessions. We said we wondered why God gave these 3 days of waiting to this kind of people who were already settled. And we suggested to you that he could have given those 3 days as a matter of reconsideration as they marched into the land ahead of the great body of people. They would realize the tremendous things that lay in the land that was filled with milk and honey, and they might reconsider and go all the way with God. As we pursue that thought a bit further in today's broadcast, you may be wondering if I am not reading too much into this suggestion. I don't think I am. If you will turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 5, you will notice in chapter 5 what is known as the Song of Deborah. In the days of Barak, when there was not a man in Israel that could lead the nation, they had slipped so far at an early date, and God raised up Deborah, who was known as a mother in Israel. There were no capable fathers. God had to use a mother. In the days of Barak, she directed the children of Israel to victory. And she sang a song of victory, which is recorded here in chapter 5 of the book of Judges. We won't have time to read the whole chapter, but her song was somewhat a song of history and somewhat a song of prophecy. And she sang in verse 15, "And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. Two men stood with me," she said. "He was sent on foot into the valley," and then she almost interrupted the trend of the thought of her song by injecting something that seems almost out of place if you don't know the whole story, for she said in the last part of verse 15, for the divisions of Reuben there were great thoughts of heart. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the bleatings of the sheep? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. The phrase searchings of heart in verse 16 is the same as the phrase great thoughts of heart back in verse 15. What was she doing? Deborah was reviewing the history of this people whom God wanted to reconsider what they were doing, and they did. There were great searchings of heart when they went forth to battle. They wondered if they had made a wise choice. How I wish I could tell you that they did reconsider during this period of 3 days, but I can't tell you that. I tell you that they decided to abide by their first decision. What happened to them? If you are familiar with their history, you will remember they were the first to go into idolatry. They were the first to go into captivity. If we had time to turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, we would discover that it was they who said, "We prefer pigs to you," when the Lord Jesus Christ came to their town. For it was in their town that the Lord Jesus Christ cast a legion of demons out of a beleaguered soul. He cast them into swine, and when the swine business of Israel, a business that they knew they should not have been in, was ruined, they said to Jesus, "Don't ever come back to see us. You're bad for business." They chose the material above the spiritual. Do you know why they did? Because they were borderline Israelites. Do you know why they did that? Because when they had opportunity to reconsider, they did not go on with God. I would like to suggest to you, my friend, that Christians many times are held up in what God has for them to do. When they are anxious to go on, God says, "Wait. Wait 3 days. Face the cold facts fully. Make sure this is what you want to do. It won't be wise to be sorry afterwards, because there will not be another time for reconsideration." There is another reason why these individuals were asked to wait 3 days. We'll just touch on it, because the lesson within itself is too marvelous to try to dismiss with a few verses. I have said the third reason they were asked to wait these 3 days. The third reason these 3 days were so important is that there was salvation to be accomplished. Somebody needed to be saved. Who was it? Rahab the harlot. Had they crossed the Jordan as they marshaled their forces and marched forth with a victorious army before whom every city had to fall, Rahab would never have been known to you. You would never have had the opportunity of sharing a good time with her in heaven as you ask her to recount the moments of this memorable night. You see, God said, "Wait, there is somebody who needs me." Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Everything was set for destruction, but God had to wait. There were a few people who needed to be saved. I would like to suggest to you, without being overdramatic, that there is only one thing that I know of that can cause God to wait. Only one plea that I know of that can cause God to wait. Oh yes, there are reasons, but one plea that can cause God to wait is, "God save me." God will stop the world in its revolutions to save a soul. Do you recall what is said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? He steadfastly set his face to go toward Jerusalem. Find that phrase in your Bible when you have time, and then follow it through. His disciples said, "You can't go," he said. "Get behind me, Satan, I will go." But he did stop. Why did he? Because there was a woman who needed him. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and as soon as he felt the touch, he stopped. Why did he stop? Because there was a poor blind man who could not see anything, but whose heart was hungry, and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," and he stopped. Oh, I can feature that some of his disciples said, "Don't stop. You said you were going to Jerusalem." They became very impatient. You know, they became very impatient when the little children were brought to him. In their impatience, in their hurry to go on, they said to the parents, "Don't bring these children to him. Get them away from here." And he said, "No, wait. Wait, I want them to come." What am I saying to you? Simply this. He's never in a hurry when somebody needs to be saved. And maybe the reason that God has slowed you up in something that you had planned, something that you desire to do, maybe so that somebody can be saved. Maybe the reason that God has kept you in a city
longer than you plan to stay. There's someone who needs to be saved. Maybe the reason God has kept you at a job that hasn't been particularly pleasing is that someone needs to be saved. Now, the last thing that I want to suggest to you from a standpoint of practical significance is that the 3 days are necessary for sanctification to be completed. What do I mean by that? Well, I suspect you know, but let's go back to Joshua chapter 3 and notice verse 1. Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And down in verse 5, Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." What does the word sanctify mean, basically? It means to set yourself apart. The first time that it is used in scriptures, that is what it means. Why is it necessary for a sanctification to be completed in the lives of the Israelites? Why does God wait for them? So that they would be prepared for what God was going to do. Look at verse 5 and notice that's what he said. Why sanctify yourselves? In other instances, such as Exodus chapter 19, he said, "Sanctify yourselves because the Lord God is going to come down here and you have to be clean if he comes." But what does he say here? "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders." Will you get this? One of the reasons that God does not perform the wonders that we would love to see him perform is we are not ready for them. We could not properly appreciate them. It might overwhelm us were he to perform those wonders before we are ready. We need to quiet ourselves before God and give him a chance to work. We need to stop working ourselves, if you please, and give God a chance to work if we want to see him do wonders. Yes, it's necessary for us to wait sometimes, and we need to wait whether we know the reason for it or not. Wait, I say, on the Lord.